Thursday nights. And we can give you the notes, and again, very important. If you've got to, does anybody need the notes for tonight? Has everybody got the notes? Everyone got the notes? The notes. Okay, all right. Okay. Do you have them, Jason? You have them. It's very good. Right. Okay. All right. So, I wonder if I could have somebody stand and read chapter. We're beginning to look at the trumpets. I'm going to give you just another little bit of an overview, but I want you to notice chapter 8, verses 7 to 13, and we're in that point where we've got the blowing of the trumpets. I'll try to put it in a little bit more of a context for you after Sam reads it, or somebody reads it. Sam, would you like to read it? Just stand right there and read it. Verses 7 to 13. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you very much, Sam, for that. And let's just have a word of prayer and ask God to speak to us from His Word. Father, tonight, again, we look at these passages. We know this is Thy Word. This is what will happen. This is a trumpet that will be sounded. We think it not too far hence when these trumpets will indeed be sounded, when the very judgments that we read of here will take place upon the earth. Again, it behooves us, before the night comes, to go out and to seek to get the gospel to as many as possible. Do bless tonight. Do be with us. Help us to understand this book, very important for us, Lord, in these days, to know it and to understand it. We pray this in Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen. Amen. Well, we are approaching the middle of the book of Revelation, and you just need to know we've got the blowing of the trumpets. We know, we've told you that there are three series of judgments, the opening of the seven-sealed book, and then the blowing of the seven trumpets, and then the pouring out of the seven vials. We have shown you that we are now in the Great Tribulation. These are not events that took place in past history. You cannot fit any event in history into this. This is something above and beyond anything that history has ever seen before. This is different from anything imaginable in the world. And you have these three series of judgments. They take place over a seven-year period, beginning at chapter 6, ending at the end of chapter 18. We have seen that the first six seals take place in the first half of the tribulation period. That means the riders on the four horses. That means the martyrs that are mentioned in the fifth seal. That means celestial disturbances in the sixth seal. That all takes place in the first half. In our notes, we try to explain why that is so. With the trumpets, we're in the second half. The trumpets are worse. Before the trumpets were blown, we see two great multitudes converted. Our 144,000. Although they're converted in the first half, but they're sealed in the second half to take the gospel out unhindered despite all that's happening. We also see a great multitude. So you have this structure of these three judgments, but then the book of Revelation, what it will do, it'll show you the opening of the seals and the trumpets and the vials. That's the chronology of the 7 years. But then there will be chapters that take us and show us other things that are happening. These judgments are unrelenting. They do not stop. But while they're happening, other things are happening on the earth. And we saw that when we looked at chapter 7. And yes, Jewish people are going to be saved. They're going to be servants. They're going to get the gospel out. Amazing. Yes, people are going to be saved in the tribulation, a multitude that no man could number. They probably rejected. They were not among those that forcibly rejected the gospel before the rapture, but they're going to be converted. But then you have other things happening too. And as we go on, it might be good just to kind of keep in mind where we are. We're going to look at two chapters on the trumpet judgments. The first four we've got in chapter 8. The next two we have in chapter 9. By the way, did you notice something reoccurring in the reading of chapter 8? What was reoccurring? Something that... No, something else. A third part. You might like to know that only one of the trumpet judgments doesn't have a third part. That is the first one in chapter 9. You get to the sixth trumpet, a third of men are killed. And then just if you got your Bible open, let me just show you where we're going, because sometimes as I go through, it's good to look at the individual trees, but it's good to look at the forest too. So you got your Bible open, look at chapter 10. We're going to have seven trumpets blown. We get to the end of chapter 9. Six are blown. Now, these are going to be blown in the first two or so years of the second half of the tribulation period. Chapters 10, we have an announcement of the blowing of the seventh trumpet, but we don't actually see it take place. So that's chapter 10. We have a herald angel come down, announced that the seventh trumpet, Sam read four of them tonight, but the seventh trumpet's about to be blown. Keep that in mind, just to show you where we're going, just to kind of get a picture of how the book of Revelation unfolds. Sometimes it's good to review, sometimes it's kind of good to see where we're going, where we are in the book. If you turn to chapter 11, 12, and 13 are connected by the fact that they give us an overview of the entire second half of the tribulation. So there, yes, we've got all of these judgments taking place, but now we see something that's happening on earth while they're taking place. We see what's happening in regarding the ongoing of the gospel. God raises up two witnesses. Just like the 144,000, nobody can stop them until God's through with their ministry. And they will preach the better part of the second half. They are described in chapter 11. Now all these judgments, trumpets are booming out and going on, but chapter 12 tells us something else that takes place in the second half. We've got this picture of Israel. And Israel, Jewish people, flee for their lives. They flee to the wilderness. And they're going to be there 1,260 days, 3.5 years. They flee. Christ told them, when you see Antichrist, the abomination, run for your life. They're fleeing. That's the main subject of chapter 12. Chapter 13, what else is happening? Another picture. So we've got three chapters in a row, 11, 12, 13, that tell us what's an overview, what's happening. The seventh trumpet announced in chapter 10, but not yet blown. Before it's blown, here's what's happening on earth. All right, what else is happening? Antichrist. We've never really seen him yet. How he comes to power and the fullness of his power in the second half of the tribulation period. So in your overview, it's good to see the total picture of Revelation. The structure is very ordered, but if you don't see the structure, you'll kind of, you know, it'll be a bit more difficult for you. So, three chapters. Then we will come to chapter 14. You get to chapter 14, what is it? The final call before the seventh trumpet is blown. And here is the last call. And angels go out and warn the earth. Yes, it's been bad up until now, but this is your last chance to be saved. Angels. There's seven calls. God is willing that none should perish, all that should come to repentance. The final call, again and again and again, it booms out across the earth. Chapter 15 and 16, what happens? We've really got there the result of the seventh trumpet. It's blown. It issues into the seven vile judgments that are poured out upon the earth. We're then in the last weeks of the tribulation period. This is it. This is the unmingled wrath of God. And then in chapter 19, Christ returns, but before he comes back, again, Revelation stops, gives us one more view of where trouble began all the way back in Genesis 10, Babylon. You've got religious Babylon, you've got commercial Babylon. It gives us a final picture, and then in chapter 19, Christ returns, the millennial reign, and the new heavens and the new earth. So keep in mind, chapter 8, we're blowing the trumpets. We're well beyond the midpoint, but that is your structure of the book of Revelation. So it's good to kind of examine where we are. It's very systematic, but if you don't kind of understand those basics, it's going to be more difficult for you. If you understand the basics, it's you will be able to get a good grip on the book of Revelation. But here tonight, we've got the first four trumpets are blown. They are the, and we saw too that the seventh seal includes the entire second half of the tribulation period. And so here is what it emits from it. The first trumpet, we've got the stricken earth, the catastrophe, the effect. In verse 7, it says, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And it's almost each one of those seems to be an opposite. Hail and fire. I know what hail is, I know what fire is, and I know what blood is. But here you've got all three, and they seem to be opposites. You've really got the same description in Egypt's plague when it fell upon Egypt and hail and all the land. It fell upon man. I guess that would be the blood. And thunder and fire ran along the ground. So you've got this type and fire mingled with the hail. So it did happen in Egypt. It was literal. When this earth, it will also be very, very literal. Here is a firestone. It's going to, it'll be a third of the earth. Now, I take it that means a third portion of the earth. I don't mean it, I think it means a third of the earth will experience it, but I suppose if you wanted some idea of what a third of the earth experiencing, and if you look at just as, before I say that, if you say, and a third part of the trees was burnt up, all the green grass was burnt up. If it's limited to one area, that would be an area roughly the size of Asia. It's impossible for me to believe, though, that the rest of the earth escapes. But that would give you an idea of the enormity. And yet there is here mingled wrath. When we get to these final calls before the vials are poured out, it talks about the unmingled wrath. So this is still mingled. Some parts of the earth may but will not experience as much as other parts do, but still, this is enormous. This is something beyond. And here's a picture of Los Angeles. Los Angeles, a very holy city. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Some years ago, Los Angeles had earthquakes, and it seemed to be the news media didn't want to say and mention this, but eventually it came out in the news media that when they had their earthquakes, it's been over 20 years ago, when they had their earthquakes, those places that were producing pornography seemed to take a direct hit, and they were in different parts of the city, and they took a hit. And they thought, well, of course, that's just a coincidence. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Now here, this past summer, according to the mayor, here's 1,000 firefighters battled largest fire in Los Angeles history. So why didn't we hear about it? Well, a lot else was happening in the world. And they do have this type of fire, but it was far worse this year. So regarding the summer that has just finished, the western part of America had the worst historic, and they were using the word historic. They talked about historic solar flares during the last couple of months, and historic fires in the western part of America. And here is how it was described. It says, a wet winter and spring in the western U.S. brought predictions that the 2017 wildfire season would be mild. It was anything but. It ended up one of the worst in U.S. history in the land burnt. The smoke, the flames, the aching lungs, the evacuations, their summertime facts of life in the U.S., where every wildfire season competes with memories of previous destructions. The foliage that sprouted from the previous rains and snow had gone bone dry in intense heat, feeding flames in places that have not seen downpours in months, and strangling cities with smoke. The biggest fires came later than usual. So it was historic, but a lot else was happening in the world too. It wasn't the major news, but you could look for it. And so during the blowing of the first trumpet, there is going to be this fire that sweeps across the earth. Again, the Bible says, the day of the Lord cometh, it will be a time of that men will be burnt. Isaiah 24, verse 6. And it's a time of great heat. Malachi 4, verse 1. And then the second trumpet. You've got the stricken earth, but then the burnt earth, but then you've got the stricken sea. It's got firstly the catastrophe and then the effect. Now again, trouble, what we're going to see when men reject Christ, it is not really trouble, but the gospel that brings them to Christ. But trouble shows them that I can no longer rely upon myself. But trouble itself doesn't bring a man to the Lord, a woman to the Lord. It is the gospel. The gospel. Trouble shows us that we can't stand on our own two feet after all. We're not so smart after all. And I better turn to Christ. But trouble by itself will only harden the heart. It is a fact, as we go through these 7 years, we do find people crying to the rocks and the mountains at the end of chapter 6. But we go on, we find that, yes, there will be multitudes that do turn to Christ. But we also find that other multitudes just shake their fist at heaven. And you get to by the time we get to chapter 16, the pouring out of vials, people are blaspheming God. They knew, and they blaspheme Him because He is sending the plagues. Rather than repent and turn to Christ and receive Christ. And so that is really what we've got happening on earth during these days that are coming. And so just to get angry with God, and that will be the... But here we notice the stricken seas. And if you look at verse 8, and the second angel sounded, as it were, what are the parameters of that? As it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Again, just as literal as when the Nile in the plague, first plague, turned to blood. Now the sea, third part, turns to blood. When we get to the pouring out of the vials, all the sea becomes blood. And here is the catastrophe. A great mountain, as it were, a great mountain. Some have said, oh, that represents a great nation. And you know, you have parallels. There was a great nation in Europe. And, you know, they were very intelligent and smart. And there was a fellow who was a paper hanger. And he came along and showed them how they could kind of recover themselves from the Treaty of Versailles and do it a lot better, and the whole nation followed him. And a great nation, a great, sometimes a nation is called a mountain, and that nation began to seethe and burn and cast into the sea of humanity and World War II, and we know what happened with Nazi Germany. And so people have likened it to that, but it's best to take this absolutely literal. It may be telling us what's happening in the background with other things, but it is a, these are literal events that are going to happen. Again, the effect, nation, would hardly cause the effects that we see here. We don't symbolize these. We may say, yes, there's other things happening that they picture. They that this is the news behind the news type of thing, but no, this is going to happen. And so here it falls. It's like a great mountain. It falls, and its fall results in the sea becoming blood. The dying sea. Now, we've had, with a tsunami and an earthquake, we've had Fukushima. This, over 6 years ago, it's not in the news today. You don't hear much about it. But if you look, it still looks pretty bad. I've got a report here that came out back in March. It speaks about, on page 5, 68, it says, second half of the page, dying robots and failing hope. Fukushima cleanup falters 6 years after tsunami. Exploration work inside the nuclear plant's failed reactors has barely begun, with the scale of the task described as almost beyond comprehension. After they started this further effort to somehow clean up the fuel rods, and it says progress was stopped. They conceded defeat. And again, you can read the article, and it's an article of an attempt that was made back in the spring, and it failed, and it's going to go on and on and on, and it does not look good and almost beyond comprehension. And so in recent years, there have been reports pointing to a depletion of food, of fresh food stocks and marine life along the west coast of America, while traces of radiation have been found. The media continues to distance itself from linking this depletion with Fukushima. Here is a chart showing on page 569 that, in fact, there has been radiation, not a great deal, but there has been radiation that has been monitored along the west coast of America. And then, but regarding fish stocks, now this is amazing. Here is an August 2016 report on sea lions. And a quarter of the sea lion deaths are now attributed to cancer. They say that has never happened. That is one of the highest cancer rates seen in any wild animal. There has been a surge of sick animals, especially California sea lions. Over the past 3 years, 80 to 90% of all California sea lion pups have died. But then it goes across other forms of sea life, and reports like this have been coming out. Again, there's been an attempt in the mainstream media to distance itself from any link with Fukushima. Time will tell where it comes from. However, the Fukushima disaster was caused by a great earthquake and tsunami. The second trumpet judgment describes a catastrophe where a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And again, as it were, noting the as it were, and students of the Bible have wondered, does that refer to a meteor or is it a mountain? A mountain. I think it's still a mountain. We'll look at that again a little bit later. But it is also a fact. In a June 2017 report, NASA documented an unexplained increase in comet activity around the Earth and the discovery of new and potentially hazardous asteroids. We give you the source for that. Now, let me just read this beginning of this article. NASA has revealed a terrifying animation of a swarm of comets and asteroids circling our planet. The pictures come from the Space Agency's asteroid hunting mission. The Near East Object Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer, or NEOWISE for short, NASA issued the chilling warning that 10 new potentially hazardous asteroids have been discovered in the past year, along with 96 other newly spotted space rocks in our midst. Scientists who have been analyzing the data said they have seen an unexplained increase in comet activity. And so is this a result of that? We do not know. We know that when the second trumpet is blown, it's going to happen just like we read it here. It's going to happen far beyond anything the world has ever seen. The Bible says the day shall come that shall burn as an oven. Malachi 4, verse 1. The inhabitants of the earth are burned, few men left. This is the great tribulation. This is the time that's coming. This will happen a little bit beyond 3.5 years after the rapture. This is why we don't want to be here. This is why we believe God's going to come and take his bride home. But this is what is coming. This is what is coming. And, even this morning as we talked about how we're seeing things and how Lot was vexed, and we're vexed today. And then the Bible says the Lord, 2 Peter 2, 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver his people. And he does that. And we believe he's coming back and he's going to deliver us from this time to come. But the book of Revelation, and it's important that there's Christians who can take this book, who can open it up, who can have a basic understanding, and we try to give you just that overview of these chapters, what is happening, how it works, how it fits. There's no mystery about it. You just read it. These are the true sayings of God. People say, oh, it's all just symbolic language. No, the Bible says in Revelation 19, verse 9, these are the true sayings of God. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. This is not just symbolic language. This is actual history foretold before it takes place. And so Christ is coming back. What a time to get the gospel out, to tell people, spread the word. Christ is coming back soon. We're getting close to 7.5 billion people on the earth. A great deal is happening. An awfully lot is happening. Christ is coming back. We want to be serving Him. Let's bow for prayer.